Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You're standing on the shores of the Jordan with your family, and you're tired. Not tired in the sense that you didn't get a lot of sleep last night or that you've done a lot of walking today, though both of those are probably true. No, you're more exhausted than that. You're like generationally exhausted. That's a thing, right? Like when the wear and tear of life over the past decades, maybe centuries, is visible on your body. You've inherited your parents' exhaustion, your grandparents' exhaustion. They aren't with you by the Jordan. Mom and Dad died during the 40 years of wandering. They were the immigrants who never made it to the new land. They told you stories of a year camped beside the mountain while Moses came to and fro with words from God. They told you stories of a sea crossing. They told you stories of what life was like before, how it was hard and horrible, but also predictable. They told you stories and made sure you understood so that you could tell your children those same stories. Your children who stand beside you now looking across this river. And next to them, other travelers and their children. Even in your exhaustion, the sight of this river has you thinking about your kids. What will life be like for them? Life in a place that is their own. What's that like? You have no idea. You've been a nomad for all of your 30-some years. You don't know what it's like to have a home. And so standing there on the side of this river, looking across to your children's future, your exhaustion is accompanied with excitement and also anxiety. What lies ahead? And how should we even approach this new life? What do we do when we cross this river? Finally, in the midst of your anxiety, old Moses, my goodness, how old is he now? Old Moses steps out to deliver a word to you and your people. Thank God, you think. We need it. 4 years ago, Kristen and I were pulling into town on a June evening. The moving truck would be meeting us here a few days later. After 2 days of travel with a German Shepherd crammed in the back of our Subaru, we were beat. I have this vivid memory of waiting at the stoplight at Constitution and Powers, which takes forever, and looking ahead to our new town, our new home. It's a memory of anxiety, really. Moving is exhausting, you all know that. Physically, it's exhausting as you pack and haul and clean and travel, but also emotionally, you say goodbye to the people you love and venture out into the unknown. Maybe you know where you're going to live. Maybe you know what your job will be. Maybe you even know some people in this new place. But you still wonder, what is life going to be like? Will the values and way of life from before be the same here? Will this new place be peaceful or stressful? Will I make friends? Will my family get along in this place? Will they have good ice cream? Will it feel like home? These are the questions that rolled through my head as we waited at that stoplight and my heart beat a bit faster. And apparently Kristen had some of the same thoughts. Where do you think we'll go grocery shopping? She asked. Don't know. The car was silent. We really could have used a word from Moses. See, the thing is, as you stand on the banks of the Jordan River, ready to cross over into this new land that is supposedly going to be all yours, the thing is, you really could approach it any number of ways. Standing with your face towards the promised land, you have your back toward the wilderness. That physical posture could also be the way you'll live your life in this new place, with your back towards all that was before, putting the past behind you, forgetting the way your parents and grandparents were slaves in Egypt, forgetting the 40 years of wandering, forgetting your history, forgetting it all, or trying to at least, and if unable to forget, at least not letting any of that define you. Or you could go the other way. You could dwell in the past. There would be new friends and new opportunities and new blessings and new challenges in this new land, but you could ignore all of it. You could live in your memory, dwell in the past, define yourself by it. You could make life new and different in this new land, or you could live as you lived before. You could be outgoing or reserved, gung-ho or patient, haphazard or prayerful. There are so many ways of approaching this new life. Yet after years of waiting for this day, you never paused to consider what it would actually be like to be here. You've never decided how you'd approach it. But you're here now. So what's it going to be? How are you going to live? Old Moses clears his throat and delivers a pretty long speech, even by his standards. The speech is full of reminders about what was said on the mountain, laws and rules and promises, but also some new things. Like this bit about bringing the first fruits of the harvest to God. This will become one of the main festivals of the Israelite people, the Feast of Weeks. A festival in the late spring when, just after the very first bits of wheat were ripe, the first few stalks would be gathered together and brought before God. It's a ritual about bringing to God what was first given to us. A ritual that shows trust in God to continue to provide. A ritual about gratefulness and recognizing God's place in your life and the world. That's what it will be later, when you're all settled on the other side of the river and you've planted your fields and harvested them. But for now, just before crossing the river, it feels like something else entirely. It feels like Moses is trying to give shape to life before you've even lived it. Moses wants this new life to be one of gratefulness, one of thanks, which is hard. We're good at living worried, I am. We're good at living afraid. We're good at living exuberant and joyous, but thankful? That's harder. I'm not even sure why. Maybe it's because we like to take credit for all of our good fortune, and giving thanks feels like giving the credit away. Or maybe it's because we're not very good at noticing things to be thankful for. Or maybe it's because we get so focused on this life, rather, so focused on what is to come in this life. Life seems so often to be full of preparation, you know? How many of you spent hours planning where you were going to eat a meal today? Whose house? What food will be there? When will the meal be served? Where will the kids eat? What will you serve that vegan, gluten-free, paleo, lactose intolerant, kosher halal cousin with a nut allergy? How will you talk or not talk about politics? So much time and energy and fret spent over a meal. So much that when the time comes, when you're just about ready to eat, standing on the shore not of the River Jordan, but the River Thanksgiving, you're exhausted. And so as everyone takes that first bite, as you cross the river, you move almost immediately from preparation and exhaustion to relief. How many mothers will let out a big sigh as they sit down at the table this afternoon? Whew. You hold a baby in your arms after months of painting rooms and narrowing down lists of names and calling the insurance company and staying up all night worrying, and you sigh. Whew. Your parents leave the dorm room after dropping you off at college for the first time, and as you sit on this new bed surrounded by all these boxes, a scene you've been trying to imagine for months, you sigh. You move across the country and pull into the driveway and let the big dog out of the back of the Subaru and go for a walk with him around the block. Finally, you're here after so much preparation, and you sigh. The preparation and anxiety of a life coming leads to exhaustion, which leads to heavy sighs when it finally gets here. But old Moses wants something more for us. Old Moses wants our lives to be full, not of sighs, but thanks. You're going to go cross this river, old Moses says. And when you get to the other side, the journey is not yet done. You'll need to tame the land that you enter. You'll need to build homes and pick leaders and plant food. And just when this new life starts to feel like it's yours, just when you start to feel like you're home, just when you harvest those first sheaves of wheat, you'll want to let out a big sigh of exhausted relief. Go ahead. But then also do something else. Be thankful. Don't forget where you came from, the long story that brought you to this place. Remind yourself that a wandering Aramean was my ancestor. Remind yourself of the promise God made to Abraham. Remind yourself of the story of oppression and liberation, and the sea and the mountain and the commandments. Remind yourself of the 40 years of wandering. Remind yourself of your parents who will not know this new place, and your children who do not know of the old place, but they must. Remind yourself of all that brought you here, not so that you might dwell in the past, forsaking the blessings in front of you. No, remind yourself so that you might live life thankful. To live life thankful is to seize life back from exhaustion of preparation and anxiety of the unknown. To live life thankful is to see how the past has made you while still hoping for a future in front of you. To live life thankful is to see God in the grand story that led to now, and is to expect God in the story to come. To live life thankful is hard, so it's best to get started right away. It's best to look across the river, planning on thankfulness from the get-go, from that first sheaf of wheat pulled from the earth, so that thankfulness becomes not an occasional action, but a way to live. Were I to do it all over again, sitting at that stoplight out on Powers Boulevard, I'd say to myself, a wandering Aramean was my ancestor. I'd remind myself of the people God had used to bring me to that point in my life. And I'd remind myself of the sorrow and struggles that preceded that moment too. I'd remind myself to remind myself of it all again after the boxes were unpacked. And then I'd look up at that mountain that I hadn't lived beneath in over a decade. I'd look at that dog in the back of the car and my loving wife sitting beside me, in the old place somewhere there in the rearview mirror, and I'd say a little prayer and begin a life of thankfulness. Amen.